This is Cliffo and Gabby's catch up.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Monday catch up podcast, everyone.
It's
Cliffo and Gabby.
Now, Cliffo, you are looking very handsome today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Just the glasses, the hair, everything about you looks lovely.
I don't like where this is going.
No, it's World Compliment Day.
I feel there's a but.
It's World Compliment Day. So
well,
I'm just doing my part and making you smile.
You're a liar to start with.
Didn't say it has to be true. It just says compliment.
Pay a compliment. Even if it's like obviously, clearly the biggest lie ever. All right, so that's the day, is it?
World Compliment Day. Make sure you go around and make someone feel good.
Let's be honest. It should be every day though, shouldn't it?
All right. You just want me to welcome you as hello handsome every day.
Every single day. If we could set that up, that'd be great. It's amazing. When you're not a very sporty person, the things you get proud of in life.
Right.
So I'm never going to run a marathon.
Get a trophy for jiu-jitsu.
I'm never going to, I don't know, win a rugby league grand final.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Not going to get that premiership ring.
There's smaller things in life that people like me get to celebrate. And one of them came about on the weekends when my favourite John Lennon coffee mug turned 9 years old. Imagine all the people. I think this is a bloody good run because it's like it's probably a $5 coffee mug.
Mm.
Got it at Typo years ago.
Just your typical size.
It's all black and white. See it right now at our Insta. Hit QLD Breakfast. But it's a black and white coffee mug. It's got John Lennon on it wearing a singlet. And it just says, imagine, across the coffee mug. And it's been my favourite for 9 years. And I only know that because it popped up on my facey
memories
9 years ago. Having a coffee from my John Lennon coffee mug. And I was actually checking that yesterday morning whilst I was having a coffee.
Oh
from my
God.
Favorite John like Lennon
coffee deja
mug.
Deja vu. Any
yes!
reason why it's your favorite?
I love that song.
Okay, sure.
I love John
That's
Lennon.
Enough. You just like the reminder while you're drinking coffee.
It's a perfect size as well.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But
the size is always the thing.
I've got this theory. Everyone's got a favourite coffee mug in the collection, surely.
Definitely.
And it's hard to say why it's your favourite.
Yeah.
But I think everyone gravitates to one particular mug out of all the mugs in the pantry.
You're totally right there. Mine normally upgrades every year or two, though. So mine at the moment is a Kmart one. It's practically the size of a soup bowl. And that's why I like it. The bigger the better for me.
13, 10, 60. I want to put this out there. Everyone think about your favourite coffee mug in the pantry or you know, wherever you put it above the kettle. Maybe you got a butler's pantry. Maybe you're rich. I don't care.
Wherever your mug lives.
Just think about your favourite coffee mug right now.
Mm.
Can anyone beat 9 years old? Because I reckon 9 years for a coffee mug.
That's impressive.
Pretty bloody good innings.
Mine have definitely all broken in that time.
Yeah.
Definitely. Nine years
very
is good. I try to carry too many things at the one time because I don't like to make multiple trips.
You wave your hands around a lot as well.
I do.
Like I get to see your coffee mug flying. But 13, 10, 60, everyone's got a favourite coffee mug at home. I want to know, can anyone beat having a single favourite coffee mug? I don't want people who upgrade every few years like Gabs.
Mm.
You've just got your favourite coffee mug and you've had it for more than 9 years old. I'm thinking something that's probably stained on the inside.
It's got that brown ring on the inside, yes.
It's probably got just a tiny little chip out of it somewhere.
Mm.
But 13, 10, 60, coffee mug love. Can anyone beat 9 years? So 9 years, Christy, can you beat it?
Oh, I can beat you, Cliffo. I got my coffee mug and I've had it for 13 years now.
13 years. It's a bloody good innings.
What kind of mug is it?
It's just a white mug, but it has an extremely faded picture of Marilyn Monroe on the side of it.
Oh, that's cute. How do you know it's 13 years? Like, how do you track that?
It was a gift as a return to work from maternity leave.
Oh, of course.
There you go.
That makes sense.
That's an easy one
and
to track.
Michelle turns 14.
So has Marilyn gone a little faded just because of too many swims in the dishwasher?
Yes.
Yeah. But when it's your favourite, doesn't matter how faded it is.
No.
You get a new Marilyn Monroe mug, wouldn't matter. Your favourite's your favourite.
Yep.
Rob on 13, 10, 60. Can you beat, 13 years is the new benchmark. Can you beat that?
G'day, guys. Yeah, I definitely can, matey. I got mine when I was 21 years old, and I'm turning 45 in 3 weeks or so you could say it's 24 years old.
24 years. What's the mug? Explain it to us.
It's a big round, like a porcelain mug. It's got an Aries description on it because that's my star sign.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I've repaired the handle a few times, but other than that, it's still going, mate.
You've repaired it. Well done. That is commitment.
I love that you haven't just gone to Big W and just picked up a new mug for a dollar. That's commitment, Rob. All right, 24 years is the new benchmark. Kimberly, can you beat 24 years?
I most certainly can. 30 years for me.
30 years. Oh, that is very impressive. I could never keep a mug alive for 30 years. What kind of mug is it?
It's a Garfield mug. It used to, the reason why I bought it, it had my name on it. And back in the day, everyone spelled it with an L-E-Y. And it was just such a treasure. But then when I moved into a house, I put it in the dishwasher and it took my name straight off.
Oh, no.
Oh, jeez. That's so disappointing.
How's Garfield? I think your mug's lasted longer than any, you know,
Garfield comic.
Any cat would have ever lasted in its life.
And it's got a chip out of where you drink out of, but I'm right-handed, so it's on the other side.
Good
so
one.
So it doesn't bother me. Yeah,
producer
I love it.
Brooke, can we send Kimberly a new Garfield mug, please?
Randall Kleiser is an American director, producer, screenwriter, and actor. He directed Honey, I Blew Up the Kids,
I Blew Up the Baby,
Starsky and Hutch, and his own house was even used in Scream 3.
Hello.
Hello. Do you like scary movies?
He's done a lot in Hollywood, but Randall will always be known for one film in particular.
What could be Grease Lightning?
Grease Lightning!
Grease. The story of Danny Zuko and Sandra Dee is timeless. And the director of the classic joins T-Birds and Pink Ladies, a.k.a. Cliffo and Gabby, to talk about it right now.
Randall Kleiser, good morning. Welcome to Australian Radio. We're very excited to have you on.
Thank you so much. I love Australia. I used a crew once from there for the movie The Blue Lagoon.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
That's awesome. Well, we are big fans of Grease. I actually wore out my tape of Grease when I was a kid because I watched it every single day of the school holidays. What's your fondest memories of working on the film?
I think probably the drive-in scene I think I liked a lot because we did that fun thing at the end where the hot dog jumps into the bun, you know?
Yes.
That was not planned. That we found that the night of the shoot, and just it just came together so beautifully. I said, can you sync the end of the song to that? And they were able to, and it just was magical the way it all worked out.
That wasn't the answer I expected.
No, but it's I remember great. The exact moment you're talking about. It's such a special movie for so many reasons in so many people's hearts. It could have been very different, though. Elvis Presley was offered the role John Travolta made so famous. Elvis was offered the role of Danny Zuko, but he turned it down. Why did he turn it down? Did he tell you?
I think that he was offered that way before John was involved and when Grease was being thought of earlier. Because when we shot Grease, John was already the main character that we'd already cast. There was no talk about Elvis. But I think there might have been some talk about him doing the Teen Angel part.
You know, he would have been fantastic at that.
The weird thing was that the day that we shot the beauty school dropout scene and Stockard Channing jumped up onto the bed and sang Elvis, Elvis, Keep Your Pelvis Far From Me. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Song?
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Remember
Elvis,
that.
Elvis, keep, yeah, pe- yeah.
That was the day that Elvis died.
No way.
Yep, we were shocked when we did that scene and went, oh my God, he just died.
Oh my God.
It would not have been workable for the Teen Angel either because he was, you know, at the end of his life.
Oh my goodness. I had no idea. There are a lot of other kind of fan theories about the movie as well, Randall. So apparently there's one out there where
Sandy died at the start.
So when the song says he saved her life, she nearly drowned, she actually did drown, and the entire movie is just kind of her afterlife dream sequence. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, I wrote a book called Grease, The Director's Notebook that's on Amazon now, and in that I explained that that's all bullshit.
Okay, it is. It is.
You put it nicely.
It's great, though, that fans are so invested in what you create. They come up with their own theories, though.
Oh, yes, it is. But, you know, we started out the movie with a title sequence with animated cartoons.
Yeah.
And we ended the movie with them flying away in a car. So, I mean, it's not supposed to be a very serious film.
No.
We wanted to ask you about that, though. Where did that come from, the flying car at the end? Why was that included?
It was just to bookend the movie with a sense of fun and that it wasn't to be taken seriously. It was kind of like bigger than life. I mean, we had teenagers who were in their 30s in some cases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
The thing was meant to be taken, you know, with a grain of salt or with a laugh or a nod. You know, it wasn't supposed to be completely real.
But is there anything else about the movie that would shock fans? Any surprises? Any behind-the-scenes little secrets?
Well, there's a lot of affairs going on, but I can't talk about those.
Oh, wow.
What?
I like that.
Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta, by any chance?
I think they were more like brother and sister on that picture.
Okay.
I mean, they had a little bit of a puppy love thing, but it was, I don't think it was ever consummated. We a lot of things were changed in the movie. Like at the end sequence was supposed to take place at a theme park, and we were going to go in school buses to a theme park, and that was the whole plan. But the budget was too restrictive for that, so that's where we brought the carnival to the school, and I think it actually worked better.
Randall,
definitely did.
I just think you created something that holds a special place in a lot of people's hearts. It really is. I mean, it's pretty much the perfect film for me. I just grew up loving it.
And it's a perfect karaoke tunes as well. It's going to live forever.
Grease is still the word all these years later. Randall Kleiser, the director of Grease, thank you so much for your time and your generosity this morning. Really appreciate it.
Very good.
Alpha Bucks back in the morning. $1,000 cash on the line right now. Tomorrow's letter is H.
Because
we know that.
The answer we're giving you is hot dog.
Hot dog.
Hot diggity dog.
Hot diggity dog. All right.
H hot dog.
Is the letter. I've heard. And hot dog is the answer. I don't know why I made that.
I was about to say I love
dirty.
To eat a hot dog, but then that's just
as
bad.
I've heard. Hot dog is an answer for Alpha Bucks in the morning out of here.
There is currently a low off the coast of North Queensland that's looking like it's going to develop into a cyclone. So, of course, there's a lot of cyclone chitter-chatter around Queensland at the moment. So, time to get on the guy in the know to give us all the details. It's Nitzo from Oz Cyclone Chasers. How are you, Nitzo?
Good morning, guys and girls. It's wonderful to be here.
We love having you on because you break it down. You don't talk in
so good.
Barometrics and hectopascals and all that sort of stuff. You understand that, but you break it down in layman's terms. So there is a tropical low about 250 k's east of Cairns. What's it doing this morning, Nitzo?
It's doing very little. It's sort of just sitting there and it's meandering. It's going to be sort of meandering about like a drunken sailor for about a day or two off the coast of Cairns. It's not going to be doing too much there, but it will slowly get stronger. So by tomorrow, we're probably looking at a tropical cyclone developing off the coast of Cairns. It'll be called Tropical Cyclone Niran, which is a Thai boy's name. Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. And are we expecting it to cross the coast or anything, or are we expecting it just to stay out at sea the whole time?
Yeah, look, we're expecting it to stay just offshore off the coastline for, you know, the next 2 or 3 days while it sort of stuffs around between Cairns and Cooktown. And then from that point, the most likely scenario is that the system's going to push southeast, either away from the coast or at very worst parallel to the coast, but it will be deepening and strengthening. So we've got potential to see a Cat 3, maybe even a Cat 4 out in the Coral Sea later on in the week.
Okay, so with it just kind of, you know, stuff arsing around like it's doing out at sea and probably not crossing the coast at this stage, what can Cairns, Townsville, even down to Mackay expect weather-wise?
Yeah, lots of shower activity, some heavier rainfall probably on the exposed coastline. So those areas around Tully, Mission Beach, and sort of the exposed island. So if you're on an island anywhere just off the coast, expecting to see some pretty heavy rain there. Along the coastline, generally just some shower activity. Some of that could be heavy at times. But the wind speeds, particularly if you're trying to get offshore, it's probably not a great idea. We're looking at sort of 30 knot sustained winds just off the coast, and then probably increasing to about 40 to 50 knots as the cyclone puts itself together. So it's it's a pretty difficult wind environment to be operating in if you're trying to get on a boat. So I'd say
don't get on a boat.
Yeah,
no boats, and if it's flooded, forget it for all the showers. Yeah. That's pretty much the advice for now.
And follow on Cyclone Chasers and the bomb and all the authorities because it's a cyclone. This is what it's doing this morning, but they are unpredictable. Nitzo from Oz Cyclone Chasers, you've done it again. You've broken it down, mate. Big laugh. Thanks for that.
Thanks, guys.
We are a show that has a history of over-promising and under-delivering. And that continues with a new segment.
Oh, reminds me of the Rocks Box. Continue.
So many things. Yeah. It reminds me of, so many things on the show. But we continue that tradition with a brand new segment. We're never going to get one on.
Never going to get one on.
If you don't know what the Rocks Box is, we promised we were going to deliver a welcome pack to The Rock when he came to Queensland to film his show, and he never came. So, and that is a fantastic
example
of our
over-promising
and under-delivering.
At least with this one, though, we're already starting it by saying we're never going to get one on. So we're already setting the expectation low.
We're setting ourselves up to fail. Why don't we do this for everything?
We should.
We should start every segment with, this is going to suck.
This is going to fail. I love this, though, because this is where we think of, really small little communities or groups of people or niches that we want to talk more about and get more information on. And so we're going to just throw it out there and say, we want to get one on from this area talk to someone about this particular subject.
Someone who falls into this category.
Yes.
And everyone at home in cars will be going, nah, you're never going to get one.
Never going to get one because that's so niche.
That's the idea.
Yep.
So on 13 10 60. You can hit us up on the phones. You can hit us up on our socials.
Yep.
Hit QLD breakfast. I don't care. Send us a fax. That's the thing.
If you can find a number.
You can find a fax machine. Just get through to us.
Yep.
Because this morning,
yep,
we want to find a doomsday prepper.
This is a subject that really intrigues me. I'm really invested in finding out the mindset of a prepper. So 13 10 60, give us a call if you are one, you know one, you can find one, whatever. We want to get one on by 8:30 this morning. That's
cut off
is the plan.
So I'm thinking here, and obviously this is like, aiming as high as it gets when it comes to doomsday preppers, but when you think doomsday prepper, you think cans of food,
bunkers,
bottles of water, bunkers,
the underground bunker,
bomb-proof doors.
Yeah,
it's a bit of conspiracy theory kind of going on in the minds of these people.
Maybe though, that's the stereotype, and you are a prepper, and you want to set the record straight. Because sometimes
all we have to work off is the stereotype.
Exactly.
Right?
Sometimes what we're told about these particular niches isn't always the truth. So if you are a prepper and you want to talk us through it, we would love to find out more.
And we're setting a deadline.
Yep.
8:30 a.m. this morning. We want to have a prepper on before 8:30.
Contact us.
So we've given ourselves less than 2 hours.
That's right. That's right. We've already said we're never going to get one, so it's fine.
Preppers are up early anyway, aren't they?
Sure.
Preppers don't sleep in.
Preppers are up early prepping.
Shit could be going down.
Preppers prep.
Gotta wake up.
Totally.
Check it out. 13 10 60, if you are a prepper, if you know a prepper, if you have a means for getting one on.
Yep.
Jay from Magnetic Island, is this you?
That's me, yeah.
Wow. So explain to us what you do as a prepper. What things are you prepping?
Oh, I guess you just think about any kind of stratospheric event that you can think of and then sort of plan around it. So we live in a rainforest in Maggie Island. So we've got waterproofing agents on the roof and pumps that go into our pool that allows us to put water on the roof in case there's fire.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Month's supply of food, tins and things like that of fresh water. Generate a pump with enough supply of fuel to last a week. And we've got grab bags in case we have to leave the house with all our personal documents and enough clothes and food, sleeping bags to be able to survive for 3 or 4 days away from the house.
See, I feel like this is pretty good. Like, this is kind of what everyone should be doing because we do live in Australia where natural disasters are so prevalent. So you're not like prepping for the end of the earth.
No, not so much the end of the earth. I mean, I don't think that's something that you could ever really prepare for. I think you probably need to prep for sort of a week to maybe a month without having supplies. So, you know, fresh water. Yeah, food, yeah. Shelter. Always have a survival kit in the car. First aid kit enough to you know, be able to do a major trauma event. So 5 or 6 people were injured.
Wow.
And kind of stuff. You're ready for that. This is crazy because I don't know, Jay, when you think, and it's probably an unfair stereotype, but I think when a lot of people think doomsday preppers, they think people
Armageddon.
Yeah, holding up like close hangers to try and catch the lightning with alfoil tin hats on. It's not that at all.
No, you know, we've got enough solar on our roof to be able to put and a battery bank to be able to light everything for our house. So we'll be fully supplied with a generator to run things if we didn't have solar for a few days, so during a cyclone. But yeah, we've pretty
I
much
think that's actually really practical.
Yeah, I'm actually on my way back to Maggie now. I've just got a bit of food and that to go back. So
supplies.
Got to have supplies. Just,
got to stock up, Jay. Your wife does think you're a bit mad though, mate.
Oh, yeah. My wife and my brother-in-law gives me a hard time all the time. When I talked about putting the fire suppression unit on the roof of the house, they thought I was absolutely crazy. But that's okay.
You'll be laughing if a fire ever does come through, mate.
Jay, we got one, mate. A doomsday prepper from Magnetic Island off the coast of Townsville here in Queensland. Mate, big love. Thank you for that.
No worries. Have a good day.
Cliffo and Gabby's Mardi Gras Reporter. Baby, I was born this way. Celebrate 2 weeks of LGBTQI+ art, theatre, film, talks and more at Mardi Gras 2021. Full festival details at mardigras.org.au.
Last week, Queensland decided who was going to represent us at the Mardi Gras in Sydney this coming weekend. It was Dylan. He was the lucky guy who's heading along as Delicious Sweets as his drag queen. But he's taking along his mum, who he calls Mama Sweets. So we wanted to find out how excited she is. She joins us right now. How are you, Mama Sweets?
Hey, super excited.
Yeah. You're so excited you went out and changed yourself cosmetically on the weekend. What did you do?
Went and had an infill done, had my nails coloured all the colours of the LGBTIGA+ colours, plus gold and silver.
Beautiful.
I think you added a couple of extra acronyms in there, but that's fantastic.
Oh, I know. I always get it flustered and Dylan just goes, oh, Mum, just give up.
How have you ever been to a Mardi Gras before, or have you ever been to anything like this?
No, Dylan and I have talked about it for years and years, going down, celebrating, and have never got there. So this is just such a great opportunity.
It's such a great opportunity. We love what Dylan's done. We love his character, Delicious Sweets. We love that you were Mama Sweets. Tell us about him as a boy. Was he putting on your dresses and heels, and was he out there like that as a child?
Constantly, from when he could walk, he was jumping in anyone's shoes as long as it had a heel. He was dancing, he was performing, he was in every school musical. He was very flamboyant. He was always making up choreography to different songs, and he was always in the limelight, always wanting to be, just in the limelight. But he did it so well. He entertained everybody.
So it didn't surprise you when he told you he was a drag queen?
Oh God, no! When he first came out as gay, he came out on Facebook, and I just texted him very quickly and said, "Your nan's on Facebook," and he came running home to see Nan and worked through it. But there was no surprise. I just said to him, "Honey, I knew," and he went, "Really?" And I went, "Yeah, it was obvious." And he went, "Oh God, why didn't you tell me?" And I went, "It wasn't my story to tell." Yeah. And I just said to him, "Yeah, you might be gay, but it doesn't change how I love you. You still need to clean your room and take the bins out and clean the sink." But I still had to nag him to clean his room. He was a shocker.
It's hard to clean your room when you're in stilettos.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's stuck in the carpet. It's a whole thing. You must be so proud of the person he's become, because it's really evident in, speaking to Dylan. What he does is Delicious Sweets, and this movement he's part of in Toowoomba, you know, your hometown, Glamour. It's not just about him. It's about other people and other people being able to express themselves, and it seems like it's a real passion of his. So, as a mum, you must watch that with a sense of pride.
Oh, absolutely. He has really broken down some stigmas and barriers that have been not only in Toowoomba, but across all the communities that he goes to, even, you know, going back to Yamba on the north coast, a very tiny, small coastal town, and he comes out and drag, but he just talks to everybody. He's happy to answer questions if people have questions and want to know more. But he just accepts everybody for who they are, and that's, I think, what he does with Glamour, is everyone has that space to be themselves and just to celebrate, and love is love, and, you know, just to be who they are and celebrate.
We love it. We love you. We love him. And the last question, the most important question, Mama Sweets, what are you going to wear?
Oh, my God, Gabby, I've just been... It's my biggest question. I've told everybody on my Facebook who voted for Dill. I went, now I've got to go shopping, bitches. Oh, sorry, can I say that?
Yeah, you can say bitches. You can say bitches.
I just say yes, Queens. Yes, and now I've got to go shopping. So Dylan said, wait till we go to Sydney, Mum. Have some glitter things ready. And but when we go to Sydney, it's a full-on shop morning.
Yes.
So we can get ready and get some shimmer and glitter happening for Saturday night.
Oh, I can't wait to see the photos of you guys.
And
it's
going
to be so great.
We can't wait to hear the reports in a week's time. Next Monday, you guys will be reporting back live. So Mama Sweets, the mama of Delicious Sweets, a.k.a. Dylan, the winner of our Mardi Gras reporter. Thank you so much for your time, Mama Sweets. You're fantastic.
Yes, Queen.
A bit of audio has come across our desk.
Yes.
From television last night.
Yeah.
It's some pretty, I was going to say gold stuff, but I don't know. It's like a car crash.
It is a bit of a car crash.
You listen to this and you can't not listen, but it's not overly nice.
Yeah, and the reason we want to talk about it as well is because it's from Holy Moly last night and most people were watching Maths. So we need to tell you what happened because you probably weren't watching. But for the last 6 months, we've been hearing about how Denise Drysdale was on Holy Moly and hurt herself really badly, severely, had to go into surgery and everything for a shoulder.
Australian television royalty, ding dong. Too. She's been a staple of morning television forever. Yeah. She's up there with your Bert Newtons and your Graham Kennedys and stuff like that.
And so watching Holy Moly the last few weeks, we're like, oh my God, did she get smacked by the windmill? Did she fall off the platform? What happened? So I have watched the footage and it's quite the anticlimax, let's put it that way. Here's the audio of her falling over and hurting her shoulder, and then we'll explain exactly
listen
what happened.
Listen to her here too. You can hear that Denise Drysdale is in pain. All right, have a listen.
Did Denise not know what she signed up for?
Give us your little furry hand.
Oh, ouch.
Oh, I've done my shoulder.
Did she just fall on her shoulder?
Oh, that hurt like hell.
Oh, she's back up.
Sit.
But it doesn't look like she's going to be able to continue in this competition.
She had to have surgery.
She had to have surgery. And they make it sound really bad with the sound effects they put over it. Go boom, boom, boom. But what happened was she tripped over her own feet and just fell on flat ground. Like, nothing was in her way. There was no step. There was no... It was just AstroTurf. And she just fell.
Yeah.
She had a fall.
I don't know if it's a kid thing. My nearly seven-year-old does it all the time.
Just
stop. Falls over.
Just trips over her own feet.
On nothing. Like you are walking on solid, straight, level ground. And particularly with Denise, too. It was AstroTurf. It's totally level. There's nothing there.
So for 6 months, there's been this big build-up for something that was very much an anticlimax. So on 131060, we want to ask the question today. What minor mistake caused a major injury? So Denise tripped over her own feet and ended up with shoulder surgery. So what minor mistake for you meant a major injury?
Josh on 131060, was this you?
Yeah, it was, mate. It was.
What'd you do?
Well, something simple. All I did was coughed and ended up breaking, fracturing a rib and tearing the abdomen muscle off.
My God.
You coughed, you cracked a rib and tore your abdomen muscle. That is ridiculous.
No one, I read a thing online once and it's true. Are you a dad, Josh?
Yeah.
It says no one laughs or coughs or sneezes deeper and more violently than your father.
100%.
And your dad.
No wonder you broke a rib. If you weren't a dad, it wouldn't have happened.
I just remember, because my dad's a smoker too. I remember his coughs late at night. Oh my God.
Violent.
I'm surprised he didn't cough up a lung. 131060, Jazz, what minor mistake caused a major injury?
Okay, guys, this is rather ridiculous, but I was jumping on the trampoline with my kids and my four-year-old accidentally kneed me in the groin and one of my ovarian cysts ruptured and I was bleeding really badly.
Oh, my goodness! That is that's unheard of. That's crazy. So you had to go to hospital for that?
No, I just laid in bed because I was already booked in for surgery. And then when they went into surgery, like, oh, your sister gone down a bit. And I'm like, yeah, my four-year-old.
My four-year-old
dealt with it.
Did
all
that.
Good.
Yeah, all good, Doc. You've been to uni for how many years? And my four-year-old dealt with it with the trampoline.
Ouch.
Is this Teresa?
Yeah.
Hey, Teresa. What minor mistake caused a major injury?
Well, this is actually embarrassing because I was chasing plovers away in thongs in the middle of winter and my thong got caught in the grass and I broke both bones in my leg.
Oh, my God.
Both bones as in like between your knee and your ankle, those two bones?
Yeah, yeah.
They're strong bones!
Yeah, and 5 days in hospital.
Let's be honest, though, plovers are very violent birds.
Just blame it on them.
Could have been pecked alive.
The Hit Breakfast Show.